You gotta love God. I don't understand God. Don't have it all figured out. I can't even hold on to my glasses. But I do have within my heart something that tells me that I am so fortunate to have God to give His Son to die upon a cross for me. And I believe that I have been led of God to have the opportunity to stand in front of you today in a church that I believe is full of folks that simply want more God. I believe we have something special here at Mount Calvary. I know when I go to the churches and I'm treated beautifully when I go, and people are so warm. And I know this morning when Bill came in practice with us and he left about 9:45 to go back to his church next door. But as we're singing and Brother Don came out and kind of tapped him on the shoulder and says, "Brother, how is your grandson doing?" Because on Wednesday night, Bill was very concerned on Tuesday, his grandson taken in for a collapsed lung. God saw fit for healing. Wednesday, he went home. Last night, they went out and had dinner. But Bill said, "Thank you for caring about me and my family." And that comes from God. I believe that the things that we have laid upon our heart, that come into our mind, they are from God. Every good thing, every warm thing, every kind, every tender thing. Because I tell you, I don't have it in myself. I am a carnal creature. And it's only because of the grace of God that I stand here before you this morning, hopefully allowing the love of God and the power of His Holy Spirit to simply open up ears, to open up hearts, so that we hear and receive that which He would let us. I'm going to read you something as soon as I go down there and find out if those glasses are broken or not. In a third grade out at California, there was a they were given a task to explain God. And an 8-year-old boy named Danny Dutton in Chula Vista, California, he wrote this for his third grade homework exam, assignment. The title, "To Explain God." And I'm kind of curious if anybody could explain God as well as he did. Danny wrote, one of God's main jobs is making people. He makes them to replace the ones that die. So there'll be enough people to take care of the things on earth. He doesn't make grown-ups, just babies. I think because they're smaller and easier to make. That way he doesn't have to take up his valuable time teaching them to talk and to walk. He can just leave that to the mothers and the fathers. God's second most important job is listening to prayers. An awful lot of this goes on since some people, like preachers and things, pray at times beside bedtime. God doesn't have time to listen to the radio and the TV because of this. Because he hears everything, there must be a terrible lot of noise in his ears unless he has a way to turn it off. God sees everything, hears everything, and everywhere, which keeps him pretty busy. So you shouldn't go wasting his time by going over your mom and dad's head asking for something they said you couldn't have. Atheists are people who don't believe in God. I don't think there are any here in Chula Vista, at least there aren't any who come to our church. Jesus is God's son. He used to do all the hard work, like walking on water and performing miracles and trying to teach the people who didn't want to learn about God. They finally got tired of him preaching to them, and they crucified him. But he was good and kind, like his father. And he told his father that they didn't know what they were doing and to forgive them. And God said, okay. His dad, God, appreciated everything that he had done and all his hard work on earth. So he told him he didn't have to go out on the road anymore. He could stay in heaven, so he did. And now he helps his dad out listening to prayers and seeing things which are important for God to take care of and which ones he can take care of himself without having to bother God. Like a secretary, only more important. You can pray anytime you want, and they are sure to help you because they got it worked out, so one of them is on duty all the time. You should always go to church on Sunday because it makes God happy. And if there's anybody you want to make happy, it's God. Don't skip church to do something you think will be more fun, like going to the beach. This is wrong. And besides, the sun doesn't come out at the beach until noon anyway. If you don't believe in God, besides being an atheist, you'll be very lonely because your parents can't go everywhere with you, like to camp, but God can. And it's good to know that he's around when you're scared, in the dark, or when you can't swim and you get thrown into the real deep water by big kids. But you shouldn't just always think of what God can do for you. I figure God put me here, and he can take me back anytime he pleases. That's why I believe in God. Amen? Amen. I don't understand God. I believe as we continue on, as we study more about his word, as we are allowed to be more in his presence, when we come two or three gathered together in his name, he is in our midst. I have felt him this morning. It's hard for me, bless you, it's hard for me to sometimes focus, and I know a lot of amens out there, especially when it comes to the time I should focus the most on sermon time. But sometimes it's hard for me to focus on the notes in front. When I feel and I hear how great thou art, and it just starts to allow God's spirit to resonate within the spirit that he has given me within my own heart. And I start to kind of get a glimpse of what I believe it's all about. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee, how great thou art. Only from the heart can you understand God. We let our minds get so full of things and stuff. This morning I wanted to continue on and our story about the life of David. This morning I want to share with you just very quickly about forgiveness. I'll read in God's Word. This is coming from the 24th chapter in the book of 1 Samuel. I'm going to tell you the story real quickly, and I'm going to read a verse. King Saul had tried to kill David 6 times. David, through his life, and about how Rich prayed this morning about having the focus on God. And so many times as we study about his life, we know the different times when he had his focus on God, when he was ready to go out and take on the Philistine Goliath, and he, with his focus on God, ran towards that giant and slew the giant. The times that we read when he'd go out and he would just overcome armies that were far greater in number than what he had behind him. Why? Because his focus was on God. Then we read about times in his life where his focus was not on God. And the downfalls, the struggles that he went through, going to the priest, lying, taking things that were not his. How at the times of his life when he was in most struggle and he had disappointed God and himself so much, he still had that heart to turn towards God. We talked about last week in the cave of Adullam, where he went and he found refuge. And he got his focus again on God. And because of that, God allowed him to have his revenge if he wanted. The king takes 3,000 men because he hears where David is and he goes to capture him, to kill him. Second verse, Saul took 3,000 chosen men from all Israel, went to seek David and his men on the rock of the wild goats. So he came to the sheepfolds by the road where there was a cave, and Saul went in to attend to his needs, to relieve himself, it says in some versions. David and his men were staying in the recesses of the cave. Then the men of David said to him, "This is the day which the Lord said to you, 'Behold, I will deliver your enemy into your hand, that you may do to him as it seems good to you to do.'" And here's what David did. He arose and secretly cut off a corner of Saul's robe. Now it happened afterward that David's heart troubled him because he had cut Saul's robe. And he said to his men, and this is our focus, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." May God write a wonderful blessing unto the reading of his word today. Amen. He had him. He sneaks into a cave. He doesn't realize the king that in the back of this cave, David is hiding with his men. God has placed Saul, the one that tried to kill him 6 times, eliminated everything in his life. His worst enemy of all, God had placed him right in front of him in the darkness of the cave. We have enemies in our life. We have our Sauls. We have those that have simply done us wrong. They've done that. Long time ago, I heard a friend came to me and we were on the golf course, the place where you receive all this great heavenly wisdom. And he says, "Charlie, let me tell you something about human nature." He says, "You meet somebody, the two of you have a mutual friend, you may be friends." He says, "But if you meet somebody and you've got a mutual enemy, good chances you'll be friends for life." And he chuckled and laughed and he said, "That's how human nature is. We're always ready to try to pounce on that one that has treated us so badly. We can get by the little stuff. You know, somebody cuts you off, you get frustrated. Oh, you go, 'Oh, I'm on the way to church. I shouldn't say that.'" Amen? Amen. All you drivers perked up like that. I was not in your car listening to you this morning. I'm just making an illustration. We can forgive those who cut in line, the little things like that, forgive. But I tell you what, that difficult one, that one is just... wow, and they keep doing it over and over again and just don't understand why that old mean person has to treat me the way that they treat me. God, can't you do something? Can't you do something, God? What do we want? We want revenge. And my goodness, how David had his opportunity for revenge right in front of him. But what did he do? Snuck over it. Clipped a portion of his robe. And as soon as he did that, within his heart, he started to feel bad about it, about what he had done. And I love this scripture here because it says, "The Lord forbid that I should do this thing to my master, the Lord's anointed, to stretch out my hand against him, seeing he is the anointed of the Lord." For all of you that can count, the phrase "the Lord" is in there three times. David had his focus on the Lord. When you're going through something and somebody has mistreated you and you just can't let it go, you're in a bad place. The writer makes a statement. Vengeance fixes your attention at life's ugliest moment. Vengeance fixes your attention at life's ugliest moment. I have talked to people and they will bring up things in their lives some years gone past. Over and over again, they focus on that negative thing, hoping that sometime I'll get even. We have to kind of find something within us that will allow us to think more about God and less focus on that evil doer. Only through that can we find true true forgiveness. Forgiveness helps the individual, but no, it helps us so much that we don't have to carry this burden around with us all the time. People are just struggling and they are just cut and they're just, because of things that have happened in their lives. Forgiveness. When you seek out revenge, you pretty much take God out of the equation. What we should strive for is to see our enemies not as God's failures, but as God's projects. God is working on them just like He's working on us. I want to read you something. There was a phone call in the middle of the night. Wonderful Christian couple. Received a phone call that, this is back before the old good old cell phone days. And as that phone rang in the middle of the night, the husband, the father, was awakened from his deep sleep. And the only thing that he could hear was just a girl crying, so just sobbing. And she says, "Daddy, I'm sorry, I'm pregnant." And trying to be awake when you're dead asleep and you hear something like that, he simply whispered a prayer. Then she hung up. Next morning, he talked to his wife and he said, "What should we do?" And they decided to write two letters of love and support. And this is an excerpt from one of those letters. It says, "Though I weep inside, I cannot condemn you, because I sin too. Your transgression is no worse than mine. It's just different. It all comes from the same sin package you inherited through us. We are praying much. We love you more than I can say, and respect you too, as always. Remember, God's love is in even this, maybe especially in this. This is a day of testing, but hold our ground we must, God will give us the victory. We're looking forward to you being home. Love, Dad. A few days later, they got a phone call back. Their daughter. And the letters were such a surprise because she had not called. It was a wrong number. In the middle of the night. But the way that they reacted meant everything. They reacted with love, with kindness, with warmth, with understanding. At a time when they could have been so judgmental, so angry, so frustrated. But no, God allowed them to see the warmth of His love within their hearts. Folks were relieved. But in the same time, they said, we will pray daily for whomever that girl was that called. Forgiveness, warmth, kindness, tenderness. Things that we feel when we come into God's house, or that we should feel. Things that simply move us. Because I tell you something, you walk out them doors, people are going to treat you wrong. They're not going to do things the way you want them to do it. They're not going to all act the way you think they ought to act. And amen, we ourselves are sometimes not going to do that. Amen, amen. How can I expect a God to love me when I cannot find love in my heart for others? Jesus, in His teachings, in His writings, everything He did, He was the most disturbed. He was the most callous towards those that had no compassion on others. The scribes, the Pharisees, you should know better. You should know better. David had the opportunity to end Saul's life, but he didn't. And because of that, God knew there was something in David from God. He knew that David, although he had struggles and although he failed and although he's done things in this book would absolutely shock you, he still knew that David had a heart after God's own heart. One that when he found a struggle, once that when he did wrong, he would find within his heart something that told him he did wrong and he wanted forgiveness. He was quick to return to the love of God. That's what church is all about, friends. Sometimes you're going to come in and you're just going to be on cloud nine. You're just going to be feeling good. You're going to be sound. Watch out, there might be a wave coming. Might be something comes against you in your life that I don't think I was prepared for that one. But only through our faith and our focus upon God, that's the only way that I know to explain God. I don't have the gift of an 8-year-old. I think that's beautiful. It makes you smile, but at the same time, it brings wisdom and a better understanding of how we should simply view the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. Amen. Heavenly Father, we have come into your house today, and God, we have laughed in your house because you've allowed it. God, we have come into your house today and we have lifted up in your name in prayer because you allowed us to do that. God, we have lifted up your name in song, in message, because you directed us and allowed us to do that. So, Heavenly Father, let us better understand that we are your servants, put here to serve you. Heavenly Father, look to each and every one of our hearts. Allow us to just rid anything of negative, revenge, resentment, anger. God, allow us to be more like you. We know there are going to be struggles, God. That's just the things that you use to, as Brother Rich said, build our character in you. So give us strength within to keep our focus on you so that we can choose to do the right thing. Heavenly Father, be with us. Continue to lead us, guide us, direct us. Give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this building. And challenge us to be the children that you'd want us to be, God. Allow us to just listen to those that have struggles and troubles and needs. Not judging. Not with an agenda. Just through love and compassion and caring. We thank you for this time together. Be your will. Bring us back together again to sing the praises of the name, the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask this in the precious name of God, and all people said amen. Amen and amen. I'm so glad I'm a part. I'm so glad.